to the WAN 101 podcast. On this show, we break down high-performing strategies, influential interviews, and try to develop discipline, mindset, and character traits. Please welcome your mostly Latino, somewhat literate host, Juan Guadarrama.
Let's talk about physical and mental training. I got you covered with strength powerlifting training, conditioning for you functional fitness freaks, and sports athletes with the athletic department programming. If you're in the area, SoCal, Los Angeles, specifically Hawthorne, you can access all of that open gym. Come as much as you want, whenever you want, $100. If you don't live in the area, remote access to all the programs available for only $25. I also started private mental performance training. If you want the details for that, send your boy a message, juan@sortabrand.com. Strength gang, what's up, my peoples? We got a sponsorship reel. Listen up. Get my supplements at maxeffortmuscle.com. You know your boy messes with the pre-workout 4 a.m. training sessions. Gotta get going. Non-training days, or if I need a little bit uppers in the afternoon, strongcoffeecompany.com. I'm the morning fix guy, that red latte. You can have it hot, you can have it cold, ready to mix drink. You don't have to brew your coffee. Has added benefits of collagen. Have you been taking a peek? I've been rocking 10,000 shorts is my ish right now. I like the 7-inch seam, no liner, please. Sorry, boys. Gotta keep it fresh. Like the colors, material. I can do my powerlifting. I can play soccer in it. I can do my CrossFit stuff in it. For Max Effort Muscle, use code 1G. Strong Coffee Company, 1G, 10,000. The whole last name, Guadarrama, G-U-A-D-A-R-R-A-M-A. If you missed all that, check out the show notes.
And okay, I think we did it. I think
Hi.
We did it.
We did it. We did it.
What's How up, Virgo you? Friend?
I was just going to say that to you.
You're tomorrow?
Power. Yes. What about you?
Today.
Huh?
Right now. Live,
oh, my gosh.
Happening.
I cannot believe you're giving me time on your birthday. Happy birthday, Virgo.
What else would I be doing?
Well, knowing you, nothing. You'd be grinding, working out, building your brand.
That's there we go. And that's what we're going to talk about today.
I love it. Hi. Good morning.
How are you? Where are you at right now?
Well, I said good morning because I knew you were on the West Coast. I'm in South Florida, so it is still morning. It's 11.
You were speaking in terms of Pacific time, so I was wondering if you were out here.
No, I was just doing that to make it easier for you.
Thank you.
I would not come to California and not come say hi and train with you.
Thank you.
I think you know well, that.
Well, I've switched locations, so I think you know that as well.
Yes, I do. I can't wait to see your new spot. It looks dope.
It's
congratulations.
It's a dream come true. Thank you. I know we always talk about entrepreneurial stuff, and now I'm really in the seat. I am really in the seat.
I know it changes your perspective on some things.
Oh, fuck. It means everything. Your life is on the line.
I know. It's crazy. Things that once were important, you're like, nope, that this actually isn't important at all anymore.
No.
Because you have a whole other set of priorities. So then you really have to get granular and look and decide. You have to decide every day.
Yes. And that's kind of, I know I didn't give you a heads up of what we were going to talk about, but I was going to make it organic, but it was going to be on those terms. For those of you that don't know, Nicole and I don't know how long we've known each other. Years now.
Yeah.
You knew me since I was a child, I guess.
You weighed 30 pounds less when I met you. You didn't have hair.
And now I have long hairs. So people that are seeing like throwback photos of me that didn't know me back in the day, like, what? Well, you know, this is my grown man look.
You're a grown man. You are very adult in your very business now. Well, you were always, you always meant business then too.
That's right.
Oh no.
Yeah. Do you want to tell people, and I know it's very hard, your elevator speech of who Nicole is?
Whoa. I'm so used to doing what the business is. Sure.
Well, all
right. Well, it kind of is one in the same, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But one's always going to be there. You and the business might not always be there.
Yeah, that's true. Well, Nicole Biscuti is a young entrepreneur born and raised in South Florida, Italian American, very loud in every respect. I'm loud in how I carry myself. I'm loud in how I dress. I think I'm loud in my presence, but I'm also loud in talking about and standing up for what I believe in. And part of that is promoting my community of badass athletes who represent and support my brand, which is the Chesty. And the Chesty is a patented sports bra with built-in collarbone protection for all those athletes who train with a barbell and ever had a clean and jerk or jerk land on their neckline, and you kind of think, that could have felt better.
Fucking grace, grace.
The Chesty is for you then. Yeah.
You used to be a weightlifter, right?
Yes. And actually, we haven't chatted in a while because I haven't seen you, but I'm getting back into Olympic weightlifting because I was able. Okay, and we're back.
So you're getting back into weightlifting because?
Getting back into weightlifting because I successfully rehabbed my knee. I don't know if you remember, I was like always doing those weird exercises when I'd see you at the gym and getting my knee worked on and all this stuff.
Yeah.
We finally figured out that I had a rheumatological condition, basically arthritis in my knee. And I was able to like holistically basically just change the way I ate and drank water, as crazy as that sounds, and avoid surgery. And now your girl's squatting ass to grass. She keeps putting more weight on every single week. So I'm getting back into weightlifting, and hopefully I'll try to compete in 2021. So yeah.
When did you start weightlifting? How'd you end up weightlifting? Mostly because I'm getting towards what I want to get to is the brand and supporting and being a voice for strong women.
Well, that is what I live every day. I really believe women should be standing in their power more. I think that women are so powerful. Some of them don't even realize the presence that they have. And
yeah.
I really, want to encourage women to take up more space. It's time it's time to take up their space and to be really proud of who they are, not who they're becoming, because obviously we're always changing as humans, we're evolving. And, you know, you and I are a different person today than we were yesterday. You are a whole year older today than you were yesterday. but so not just always looking for the future, but being happy, content, and proud of who you are today in your body today. And then of course you can be happy but hungry, right? You can always work towards the highest and best potential that you have to offer. But that's really what I do. But getting back to like how I got into weightlifting, it was like a lot of people, I really had the exposure. Can you still hear me?
Yeah. Sorry.
Okay, cool. Whew. I got a little nervous there because we had an issue earlier. I really got into weightlifting initially through CrossFit. You know, I was a CrossFit competitor from 2012 to 2016 was the last year I went to regionals on a team when they had regionals. This is before the sectionals situation.
That's crazy that's going to be a conversation at some point.
I know it.
What?
Like, you'll be able to tell, like, all right, how OG is she? Does she say that she went to regionals or?
Yeah. And that's second gen. There's still first gen before that.
Of course.
Now right. We're third gen. Now I don't even know what's going on at this point, really.
No one does. It's a mystery to all.
I was like, who are the athletes? I can't keep up. Anyway, sorry.
No, I'm the same with you. There's always like another profile that pops up on my Instagram, you know, the Explore tab. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
What's happening? So that's really how I got into weightlifting. And it's just like, you know, when something calls you out of your bed every morning, you know, in your case at 3 a.m., it's because something about that gives you like the most satisfaction, the most feeling of potential, the most feeling of accomplishment. And you can go in there. I mean, I trained for 2 years to add a kilo to my snatch number, you know?
Yeah.
But it was worth it to me.
Yeah.
It's like you're chasing this number, but it's not just the chase of the number. It's really like the everyday in the gym. And actually I meant to compliment you on some of the videos that you've been doing for Sorta HQ, because as I was looking at them, like, honestly, Juan, I was getting goosebumps thinking about like the community of athletes. Like you do feel like if you don't show up for them, that you're also not showing up for yourself, because they're counting on you, and you become this, like, it becomes a family environment with the people that you train with. And that's also the other thing that I really love about weightlifting. I have friendships that I created essentially on the platform, right? That they'll be my friends, you know, forever, which is also pretty
amazing. You've been through shit together.
Right.
Like some tough shit.
You've seen some crazy shit too.
Everyone that's joining the gym doesn't know what they're signing up for. They're like, oh, it's like a boot camp functional fitness class. And then they realize, holy fucking shit, this is like real fucking training. And I was like, yeah.
I just
kind of lured you with some jokes. And then, no, we're training for fucking real.
I lured you in with my long hair, my man bun, and my friendly tattoos. But really, you're here to work.
It's fucking training. It's so beautiful to see. It's crazy to see.
Awesome.
Like, I didn't know a lot of these people weeks ago.
That's so cool.
Okay, so you said something in the beginning of standing up for things that you believe in, and I sympathize with that, because I've been thinking, and that's kind of what I've been living for right now. Mm-hmm. How important is that in building a brand, being the brand for yourself, all of those things? How or why does that? A strong statement for you.
I mean, to me, it's the most important thing, because at the end of the day, you know, you and I can say, or people can say anything they want to say, but if you're not putting action to your words, then you're not giving anyone something to believe in. And so for me, I like to believe people when they say that they're going to do something. I like to believe people when they say that they're about something. And that's like, kind of like, that's the optimist in me, right? But I'm going to believe you for real when you show me who you are, when you show up and do it. And that's why, you know, for me, I've always lived my life talking less and doing more. And, you know, like even my close group of friends, I'll come out and make an announcement about something, I don't know, on social media. And they'll be like, oh, I didn't know you were doing that. And my simple response is, I'd rather not tell you, I just show you.
Yeah. Were you always like that as a kid?
Yes. My my dad said to me when I was a teenager, he's like, Muhammad Ali, you know, he's got some good quotes. My dad's like this, like, old school New York Italian. He talks with his accent. He's like, I have to remember the quote, but basically it says, if you have to tell him who you is, you ain't, right? Yeah. It's like, I don't want to have to tell you who I am. I just simply want to show you. And so I think I was always like that. I'm very fortunate that I had, you know, even though my parents were divorced at a very early age, I still had and have a very good relationship with both of them. And they instilled principles in me that are to do the right thing. And part of doing the right thing in our family growing up was believing that you can do anything and then helping other people get there too. So, So when you talk about like vision, I think I had a lot of, I know you didn't have a lot of extra time during the pandemic, because I saw all the stuff you were doing and I was exhausted just looking at like a day in the life of Juan, but I had a little extra time to think about where my life is going, what I really want to be kind of known for as far as like leaving this like legacy of a brand behind. And it gave me an opportunity to rework the vision for the company and what we're all about. And we took pages and pages and really pages of writing and words and verbiage, and we just edited it down and cut it down to simply four sentences: more presence, more celebration, more potential. The Chesty is confidence for all athletes. And that is a very powerful statement to me. It encompasses so much. It really, you know, it means what I just said, and I say what I mean. And that's how we're going to live the next year, going through to, you know, you can always pull every situation back to this, right? Like any question or any request or any collaboration, we can always go back to, is it going to give our athletes more presence? Is it going to celebrate our community? Is it going to offer athletes more potential? If you can't say yes to all of those things, then the answer is no.
Yeah. I'm smiling because I started mentoring high school kids, and we were talking about branding and building value.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you feel the same way, but the thing that I was telling them, I'm like, look, the shirts that I make are, like, from a design perspective, not the dopest shirts.
Okay. I actually like them. I think they're cool.
They're cool. Cool. But what makes it dope, what makes people willing to buy them, mm-hmm. is the values that it all stands like behind, what it means to you. And that's exactly what you talked about. I love the product and thing, but the thing that actually makes it worth something is the story that your customer is going to tell about this piece. It's not the piece, it's not the material,
right?
It's the whole thing behind it, which makes it worth it. Like, I think we're and we use like Supreme as an example. I'm like, yo, we're trying to get to the $100 shirt, man, because it means something.
Right. Absolutely. And my favorite
Polar Eye we're probably going to spend that money on like, yo, let me, there's some athletes I want to sponsor. There's things that I want to do, things I want necessarily because I want to make all the money in the world.
Right.
It comes from this other going back.
Right. Know? I know. And entrepreneurship, and you know this, especially now, is, you know, it's about like a love for what you're doing. If you just simply have a love for money, that will show and you won't be successful. I mean, or maybe you will, but you will be unfulfilled.
It's fucking boring.
I know, but I don't know because I don't make a lot of money because because I'm always investing it back in.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even own a house. I own a shitload of Chesty sports bras. I've got a lot of neoprene and I've got a brand and that makes me happy and I'm fine with it. Like, it's fine.
Absolutely. But,
with the work that you're doing with the students, you know, you can tell them this too. One of my favorite TED Talks is surrounded by the why. And simply put, the presenter said, people don't buy the what of what you're doing. People don't buy what you're selling. They buy your why. And that's going back to your t-shirt. It's not a t-shirt. It's the why behind it. They're not necessarily buying a Chesty sports bra, they're buying the why behind it and they're buying the who behind it. They're buying this like into this community. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, that gives me a really like a really strong sense of pride that we're doing something impactful here. And another thing that I really love doing is connecting on a very literal basis with our customers. Like I'll randomly call a customer every once in a while. I'll just go through the shipping manifest and I'll just look and I'll just kind of like, you know, like close my eyes and point and I'll pick a customer and I'll just call them and I'll say, hey, it's Nicole from Chesty. I just wanted to know how's your training going? Is the Chesty helping? What do you like about it? What do you think could be better? And like half the time they're like, wait, are you you're the owner of Chesty? I'm like, yep, I really like value your opinion and I want to hear. Like, I want to hear from you. And I do that. And I honestly, every time I do that, I think I get more out of it than they're like, they, you know, it's cool. Oh, cool. The founder of Chesty called. But really, like, that data and that information is so critically important to us.
Yeah.
Because we need that to continue growing and improving our just everything that we do, our processes, everything from the actual product to how it's packaged and how it's sent out and how they receive it. You know, all of that stuff is important. So,
what things were you involved with in high school?
Oh, high school. My gosh, so long ago. I played basketball in high school, which is how my love for Jordans started. I was a power forward. Sometimes they put me down. I would mostly hang around in the block, but once in a while, I'd have to play center. And I really was just not tall enough to be a good center. So it was a power forward. I also ran track. I did the long distance stuff in track and I ran cross country, which was like kind of an interesting and weird combination of sports. Because if you think about basketball, you really need to be explosive.
Yeah.
And doing those sprints, but I started doing cross country to get myself conditioned for basketball season. And then I was like, well, this is actually kind of cool. Like,
yeah, was not a bad look. If you think about it, if you look at constantly varied,
right?
It's not a bad call.
Well, then, no, you're right, because I had no idea how really hard it is to create an enduring background and how easy it is to lose it. But I came into CrossFit as a very enduring athlete. And I was
so did
like,
I.
Okay. You
and
did?
Then I had to give it up. And I was like, dude, I want this strength thing. I've already ran a sub 5 minute mile. I don't care. I want a 500 squat.
Well, exactly. Oh, yeah. Well, you had to run a lot when you were wearing those silkies.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You gotta be little.
Yes, exactly. Oh, my gosh. I think I told you this, but my brother's a Marine.
Yeah.
And he joined my CrossFit gym here in Florida. And I'm like, are you cherry picking the workouts? Cause I'll always see him going to the gym on those long workout days, right? Like the 40 to 50 minute workouts.
You're like you're just,
I know. Look,
we're rhinos now. We're fucking rhinos trying to do this endurance workout.
I know. I'm like, I see you skipping max back squat day, but showing up for like Cindy. I'm like, okay. Anyway, yeah, it's really funny. I thought I'd mention that. Excuse, have that in common. Well, you and I. Go ahead.
Jobs did you have? How'd you get to the entrepreneur route? Was that always your mindset? Did you always have ideas? Was your brain always stirring? How'd you get to the point where you're at now?
Yeah, I mean, yes, ideas were always stirring. And I think that, you know, I was an artist in high school and college, and I think I was always creative, but honestly, in college, and I'm going to date myself now, when I was in college, that was when Sex and the City was everything. Like every Sunday night when those episodes came out, like, you know, that you could walk into any living room on campus and that is all that's happening. People are watching that. So
where'd you go?
I went to University of Central Florida in Orlando.
Okay.
And the reason I mentioned that is because one of the four main characters, Samantha, was in public relations and I wanted to be her. I was like, I'm going to go into, and I was already a communications major. So I was like, I'm going to be Samantha and I'm going to wear fabulous outfits. I'm going to travel the world and date models. And this is going to be my life.
Well, you're not far from it.
Well, thank you.
You're not far from it.
I ended up getting my degree in international communications and business. So, you know, all of that has absolutely helped me with what I'm doing now. But I founded Chesty while working in my public relations job when I worked for Bloomingdale's. So I think that it came out of a complete need. I did not see myself as an entrepreneur. I, you know, had always worked for companies up until that point. I had worked for a number of small boutique PR or marketing agencies, and then, or in a marketing capacity of some sort, and then got the job as a public relations manager for Bloomingdale's. I worked at that role for 5.5 years, but developed the concept for the Chesty in the last part of my, you know, kind of tenure there, because I was competing and needed to have this product. And that's really how it started.
Did you become obsessed with it?
Yeah.
How obsessive?
With CrossFit, obsessed with working out, obsessed with my nutrition, obsessed with Chesty. How obsessive? I was eating. I will never forget where I'm like, maybe this is going too far. I was eating a piece of whitefish, like I think it was tilapia, out of a glass container in my vehicle while driving to work at like 8 a.m. I'm like, this is maybe gone too far.
Yeah, I did that when I did a bodybuilding show for sure. Okay, so
but I think that people are obsessive though. Like, I don't know. I mean, you don't get up at 3 a.m. because you're not obsessive. You're
Yeah, so how obsessive do you have to be to pursue those dreams? And I'm like, I'm gonna start to go into like that being maybe a catalyst to the entrepreneur jump from the security of a job, because I recently did that, and like you kind of have to be fucking nuts.
Yeah, I mean, yes, and please take this as a compliment, but I don't really gravitate towards like quote basic people.
Neither do I. Don't fucking waste my time.
Like, I mean, we have been friends for all these years because neither of us are exactly what other people would consider to be normal. Like,
no. Does your family think you're fucking nuts?
Yes, but they celebrate it. definitely. Like, it's really funny because we were at the pool the other day, and I don't know, we were saying something. Someone asked me something, and they're like, "Oh, sorry, you know, didn't mean to ask you a work question." And my brother was like, "Ha, it's all she talks about. She don't care." I was like, "Yeah, I mean, that's true." Like, I don't really talk about anything else other than that. And that is probably going to be very boring to other people who just want to like live their lives and have their family life and then talk about vacations that they're looking forward to.
I don't know if you have a hard time with that. I'm like, it's hard to have friends that,
yeah,
that don't live a life like that.
Well, you're also very lucky that you have a wife who's super supportive. And I mean, I am telling you this as a very single person who has tried to have, you know, like long-term relationships with people, and they end up leaving because, and to my own fault, I guess, they don't feel that they're a priority in my life. And at this point, you know, maybe they're right because I'm building a legacy. And if you want to jump on this train, and you want to be a part of it and you want to help me with that, cool, let's ride. But like, just so you know, this is what I'm doing right now. And it is my priority. Or maybe I just haven't found the right person. That could be the other thing. But
I think you just haven't found the right person. But Flora is very accepting of me. I get my little bubbles and she's just, yo, I'm just going to let you go. Just go.
She's awesome. And when is she due?
Any fucking day in the next 14 days.
Oh my gosh. Another Virgo in the house. I cannot
another
wait.
Virgo. What the fuck?
This is so boys. Exciting. This, oh my
it's,
gosh.
It's nuts. I'm very so grateful cool. Reflecting on my birthday and where my life is right now. I cannot fucking complain at all. I'm super happy.
That's awesome. I'm so honored to be even talking to you on your birthday. Happy freaking birthday, Juan.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So I think we've agreed. Oh. We've decided and we agreed that you have to be obsessed.
You have to be obsessed. You have to be fucking done. My brain does not shut off. And we'll talk about maybe things that you do to help you come back down to earth. But how was the jump, the technical jump from having a real job to jumping on the entrepreneur? Did you have help? How'd you get through it? Some of the failures, some of the successes of that.
It was fucking terrible. And it was nothing like I planned out in my head. It didn't go that way.
What'd you plan out? Did you have savings as you made the jump?
Okay, so that's definitely where I was wrong. I saved, so every bonus that I got at Bloomingdale's, which was, you know, just basically based on your store's performances, I saved it. And I thought that I had enough money to last me 14 months in my new business venture when I left Bloomingdale's to go launch Chesty. And that projection model is precisely why I am not in charge of the money today at the company, because we'd be fucking broke. So that's why my brother handles that. After not even 3 months, I ran out of all of that money that I thought was going to last me like a year and getting into like a year and a quarter.
What did you spend money on?
What did I spend money on? Well, production, which, you know, of course I paid through the nose for that because I was ordering such a small quantity.
Too expensive.
It was, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? It was just, you're ordering such a small quantity. It's really a pain for the factory to do it, because they're like, oh, cool, we're making 10,000 units of every color for these other brands, and you want us to stop what we're doing and make 300 total units for you? That's cute, you know? So it really cost me a lot. I spent it on that. I actually ended up borrowing $5,000 from my mom, which was a lot of money for me to borrow. I had never borrowed money from my family before. And I spent 400 of that on my first commercial. But to me, you know, I come from a marketing space. It's like, I love to tell the story of a brand and tell our athlete stories. And I think that that is, to this day, I will still spend, if I was allowed to, if my brother and our consultant let me, I would spend like 80% of our budget on marketing. Like,
how easy, how funny, and how easy is it to spend money to make shit go? I'm like, bro, I can spend $10,000 right now if you guys let me.
I know. My brother's like, I call him like my work husband, because he's always like, oh no, nope, you're not. We can't do that. Like,
is that a Virgo thing? Is that a us thing? Is that our personality thing?
I don't think so, because everything I read about Virgos, I'm like, that's not me. It's like how we're organized and good at finances.
It depends on what it is. Like, at home,
I guess so.
I'm not organized. At the gym and then like my workflow, organized as fuck.
Okay. So yeah, then it, well, that, yeah, we're the same.
Like, my truck, terrible.
Oh no.
Office, good. depends what it is. Would you consider yourself, what if you were to describe one or two strengths of how you run your business, or what you're most valuable in, what would those two things be? So if you're like, if your brother's the finance, what are you, a creative or a marketer?
Yeah, that's exactly it. He handles all of the things that, you know, I consider to be like, I call them like time hijackers. It's just like, you know, I mean, I get so frustrated with basic things like remembering a password for a website. Like, I don't have time to remember that. Scott's like, just,
I want to go out and talk to people.
I know. So I think that my strength in from the business aspect, or from an administrative standpoint, would be my creativity and my ability to connect with people. And that translates over to our athlete relationships, all of our collaborative partners, our brand partners, and, you know, our we have a national sales team now since the last time I saw you, and, you know, we're managing them. Yeah, it's pretty awesome. And, you know,
how big is the team now?
There are 6 women, and they are all unicorns, because, and I say that they're unicorns because what we were looking for, not only in terms of talent and drive and mission, I was also looking for someone who really wanted to do this part-time but would bring a full-time effort to the table. That is asking a lot of someone, right? Because I mean, we don't have the resources to have a national sales team on full-time salary. That's
they're doing out of fulfillment, out of love, and of like,
right. Yes, they are doing it because they love the brand, they want to be a part of it, and they believe in what we are doing, right? And that vision statement that I just read to you, they believe in that, they live that every day. And so they, you know, so this is like their fun money, their fulfillment money. They're just like, they all have jobs, like full-time jobs, not with Justy, and they hustle for us on the side, and it's really cool. So so being able to draw that out of people and help lead teams, I think, is something that I didn't realize was a skill of mine. It definitely has some room for improvement, but I am learning, you know, I'm learning to be a better leader every day. And that's a really cool challenge for me.
How has your emotional intelligence grown since you become an entrepreneur?
Like 1,000,000%. And I don't know about you, but like my bullshit meter is at a 10 out of 10.
Yes. I think out of survival, we have to, I feel like we have to be in tune with people, the pulse of the environment that you're in.
You have to.
Team, yourself.
You have to read people.
You're fucking Spider-Man. Spider-Man's spidey sense is at all times.
And also, and I'm sure that you've experienced this too, you have to be on high alert and finding, you know, our business consultant, Melissa, says you need to be able to identify the white space in the conversation, meaning what are they saying by not talking?
I'm talking about the rhetoric. All the time.
All the time. Because that is the most important thing. And so I think that, yeah, emotional intelligence has like skyrocketed because, and we talked about this earlier too, right? Like, it's not a tell me, it's a show me. People will show you what their motivators are. They'll show you what their fears are, sometimes by not even saying words. So it's really important to listen.
I can tell by how people walk.
Yeah, especially in your business.
In the
gym?
Like, dude, okay. I'm fucking reading you left and right. I need to come in hot or I need to come in loving. It redirects how I got to come in.
100%, because you cannot successfully communicate with every person who walks into your gym in the same way, because they won't respond in the same way or the way that you would expect them to. You have to read every person and treat every person differently based on their individual, you know, kind of energy.
Yeah.
and that's definitely something that I think for me during the pandemic I've had to put a lot more energy and focus into that, because you're not seeing people face to face anymore. Now you have to really try to be like analytical about, you know, the communication that you're having with people. I have done a lot of video conference calling in the last 5 months. So it's nice to be able to see people, but there's always that, like, even in an email, all right, well, they wrote this, but what else are they saying?
Oh, yes.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And it only takes a couple times for you to get really screwed over, for you to be like, this is not happening anymore. I am changing the behavior. I'm changing the model. I'm changing my behavior and my reaction to this, so this does not happen again.
Why do you think, and I don't know if you see this a lot, but I see this a lot, why do you think people's emotional intelligence is so low? Like,
because they haven't been put in uncomfortable situations where they've had to rely on it for survival or to get to the next level. They have had shit handed to them and it's been way too easy for them. That is my opinion on why they have a low emotional quotient.
Yeah, I that's one of like a main factors I'm trying to teach kids that I mentor, or like my child. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You can fucking Google everything. Can you read people and where they're at?
Right, right.
And either for survival or to help.
Right, exactly. It's really great that you're working with high school students, because that's really where a lot of that is formed. I work with college students. And so by the time they're kind of in that part of their life, they're already thinking about, like, they're really thinking about how they're going to live the bulk of their, like, quote, adult life, and how they're going to start out this new chapter after college. So they're in a different headspace than, say, like a middle school or high school student, where a high school student has different priorities, but they haven't completely formulated or decided on the person that they are yet either, which is why it means so much more, I think, the work that you're doing with high school student, because every influence you have during those 4 years is going to impact and shape who you become, I think.
Yeah. I'm trying to get them a head start. I just remember how dumb I was. So I'm like, yo, let me teach you some shit right now. Let me just little things. Just because I know where I sit with them, because I lift and I play. with them. I'm like, all right, well, let's talk about stuff maybe you're uncomfortable talking about. Let's talk about how to be a boyfriend.
Right.
They're like, what? Right. I'm like, dude, I'm telling you, I got a kid early on. I can tell you some stuff that you don't have to go through. You get to decide how this goes, by the way.
Right.
Like, thinking about it, like, oh shit. Like, dude, this gets to be fun. You can have fun. There's a lot of things that you kind of have to go through, but you don't have to go through it as bad or have the tools to do it.
Right. Anyway. I love that so much because I distinctly remember as a high school student just being stressed out. I was so stressed out. I don't know. I just was so stressed out all the time. And then I look back and I'm like, what the fuck was I stressed about?
You can be a total idiot. It's not going to matter. You're going to be all right.
I lived in my mom's house. She made all of my meals for me that I didn't have to buy make. Like I used a cell phone that actually I used a beeper, a pager first before cell phones, right? Before cell phones were like a thing. And all of that stuff was paid for by someone other than me. Like what? I mean, I don't know what I was so stressed out about in high school.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
All right. Let's go down a deeper route.
Okay.
What is the hardest thing you've been through?
There have been a lot of hard things as far as the business. I mean, I've lost all my money twice now. And when you get to a place where you literally have no money to even like almost survive, and then you have to like tuck your tail between your legs and go ask for help, especially for a prideful, confident person, it doesn't feel good.
How old are you?
I started this business when I was in my like mid-30s, or like early 30s, and that's a really like, you know, candidly, it's an embarrassing position to be in. And so the feeling, you're not only dealing with like a feeling of loss, but you're also like embarrassed. It gives you a lot of anxiety. You feel like a failure, and the hardest part is to remember or see your idea as a good idea. And so just because you ran out of money doesn't mean that your idea is not worth it. And worth pursuing and worth doing, and doesn't mean that your idea is not good. So that was probably like emotionally the hardest thing for me to deal with. And then again, having to ask for money is really for like, I'm like, you know, I'm an Italian woman. I'm like prideful.
Yeah.
Like it's hard. It's hard to ask for help.
I have the same issue of like asking for help. Yeah. I do not. But I've gotten some. I would not be here right now without some help.
None of us would be, and that's the thing. Like, if any successful entrepreneur or whatever perceived success, right? If any entrepreneur who has any bit of perceived success hasn't gotten help, they're probably not being honest about that. And when my brother got out of the military, he actually joined my company and he did. Thankfully I didn't even have to ask him. This was in 2017. He just came home.
He loves you.
He knows me. He loves me. He observed what was happening and he was probably thought to himself, this shit is not going to happen if I don't like take control of some of the finances, because you know, you know me, Juan, I'm a creative person. I like to be out and about. I simply cannot be held down by the stress of opening and paying bills. So he came on board and he does all that shit now. I'm very lucky.
May I ask on a technical term how you lost money twice? What are the lessons learned from that?
Sure. Well, the first time it was just like I over-leveraged myself and I was putting all this money on credit cards. It was really, really bad. That's when my brother was just like, okay, this what? Is not okay, happening.
So because I was similar boat, what in your mind or what did you tell yourself that it was okay to open credit cards and use the credit line? Because I think this is a common thing between all entrepreneurs. Fuck it. I'm going to put $7,000 on this card or 10, whatever it is.
I know. I was in a bad way. Like, I just recently finished paying off all that shit. Like, I had somehow in a very short amount of time gotten myself over $30,000 in debt. And my brother's like, where is this money coming from? You don't have this money. Like, it was really bad. And for me, it was a very bad situation. Other people would listen to this podcast and be like, $30,000's not a lot, but it's all relative, right? Like, when I was in that scenario, $30,000 was an insurmountable debt that was putting pressure and stress on me every day to the point of crying. So to me, in that moment, that was a lot. And so what, to answer your question, what was I telling myself? Oh, well, I have to spend, I split a booth with my friend Sloan at like the 2013 games in Carson. And, you know, it was a $7,000 booth. So my cost to split the booth with her is $3,500 plus flying out there, plus getting swag to basically give away because I didn't even have product yet. I was just building my email list, right?
Yeah.
I must have spent $5,000 going to California to literally just stop everyone who walked by the booth and ask them to join an email list. Like, I thought that was a good use of $5,000.
How was that experience?
Honestly, every single person that I talked to for the most part was like, that's a really good idea. You should. And actually, what was interesting about it was because it's very, I tried to be very approachable, right? And especially when you're like, you're not anything yet, you don't have like any kind of like brand. So a lot of people that I talked to would say, oh, well, you know what you should do? Or, oh, well, have you thought about XYZ? And I'm like, no, I haven't thought about that. That's a really great idea. So, from that perspective, paying all that money to get out there and have these conversations with all these people who just want to give you your opinion on the product, that was actually pretty good.
That's
right.
I think that was the beauty of the CrossFit world at that point. I'm not sure if it's the same right
at
now.
That time. Yeah. Yeah.
Like now it's, yeah. I don't know what a good term to use is, but I think at some point, functional fitness world was very open to giving feedback and learning. I think was the renaissance time of it.
I completely agree with that. It was like a renaissance time. And also some of those people who I met that year, 2013, I am still very close with them. They reach out every once in a while and they're like, it's so excited to keep watching your brand grow. I'm so proud of you, Nicole. Like, it's very cool to have met people, you know, 7 years ago who are still following this journey. And that was pretty cool. But so I think that the hardest part was I will just sum it up to say loss, because I'm not only in those scenarios losing money, but I also lost, you know, relationships with people too, right? And loss in general is something that is like, is hard because you need to like take time to grieve over it. And when you're in this like blender, trying to get out of the blender because you have to survive, you don't really take the appropriate time that people should give themselves when you're going through like loss. So there's a lot of like work still that I need to do on myself from not giving myself like the quote self-care that I needed.
Yeah.
So now I don't feel guilty whatsoever about being like, oh no, I can't do that on Thursday. I'm taking a day, you know?
Yeah. I do. Thursday is my day to do that as well.
Oh, that's so funny.
I'm like, dude, I need
Whatever the day is.
Yeah. I can put out more. is what I've been learning as I've gotten older.
Yeah, I know. And that is one of the most, it's such a wise thing, right? Like giving yourself time, space, capacity to basically recharge. It's just like a mental vacation. So you need to do that. And if you can't create the space for yourself in your house, you need to figure out where else you can go to do that.
Where and how do you do that? What's your strategy to not burn out? And how many times have you burned out?
I don't really know how many times I burned out because I've lost count of that, but I'm getting better at identifying the like signs, the indicators that it's coming.
Which are?
And so now what I'll do is I'll say to my brother, like, all right, but plus he gets a military rate at all our local hotels. So I'll be like, can you check me into this hotel for like 3 days? and then I'll just leave. I'll go. But like, I'm literally 5 to 10 minutes down the street, but I'm gone and I'm removing myself from the environment and the stress. And I'll just say like, I'm not reachable for a few days. And I'll do that. And the reason, I don't know if you knew this, but Chesty still operates out of my 2-bedroom condo. So like, like I have people in here, not people, they're like very close to me, but still I have, you know, our team in my house, in my condo, 3, 4, sometimes 5 days a week.
But how much working. Fun do you have, Nicole?
It really is fun. We do have a lot of fun. However, you know, you know, just probably better than I do, when you're in that environment, you're on. You have to be on. You're like performing. And there's no real like relaxing. Your central nervous system is just
shot.
Right. Fuck. It's shot because it's just like operating at a higher level than normal just because you have people in your home. So you feel like you have to like take care of them or entertain them or like, you know, Jesse, who does our fulfillment exchanges, returns, all of that stuff. I'll make her food or like bring her coffee and stuff. She's like, you know, you don't have to do that. Right. And I'm like, I know, but I was making it for myself. So here you go. I'm like, cause she's in my house.
How have you been able to keep training like that?
Well, I had the whole knee situation, which honestly, I don't really believe in coincidences. I think that was like my body being like, you need to slow down. We're going to go ahead and give you a forced break. But I actually like have no problem. I have laid the ground rules and set the boundaries with every person in my life. I hired a trainer who trains me via FaceTime once a week. And then all the other days I write my own programming and I leave and I'm like, this is my time to train. And sometimes it's in the morning, sometimes it's in the afternoon, whatever, but I'll go and I'll do that. I still have, you know, a membership to my gym. And I do that. And also the other thing that I do is I get up early now, which I never thought that I'd be like an early person. Because I'm always like, oh no, old people do that. Like 80-year-olds get up at 4 a.m.
Nicole,
or 5 a.m.
I'm fucking old as shit. So old.
But here's the thing, and you probably noticed this. It is so calm in the morning hours. You can get all your thinking done. So that's what I do. I mean, granted, it's not calm in your gym when you're like screaming and like sniffing whatever that stuff is. Give yourself adrenaline.
Yeah, mine's not calm. The drive to the gym is calm, but as soon as we get here, it's fucking a death. It's a war.
That's so cool. But the cool thing about, like, I love watching you do that because I always think to myself, shit, man, people aren't even like awake yet. And you literally just like hit most people's PRs like on a working set. I just think that's so cool. Like the amount of stuff that you accomplish before the sun even rises. So for
my body's getting old.
Of course
you we got how many years for like a prime?
That's what you got to do it now. And that's why I'm doing all this stuff. I am doing so much stuff right now. And I don't even care because I'm like, at some point, my body and brain is going to shut down. So I got to just do it. So I just, to answer your question, I just make the time. I put it in my calendar and I'm like, no, I can't have a call. No, I can't have a meeting. I'm literally, I'll say to my brother, nope, that's when I'm training. And he'll say, okay. Like he gets
it. Isn't it crazy how people don't understand that you can set up boundaries and nothing changes? It actually gives you more power.
Yes. Like no, there is no negative thing that can come out of setting boundaries. Literally not one. Like I would challenge anyone to have that argument with me and they'd be like, well, yeah, but then my boyfriend broke up with me. I'd be like, congratulations. You got rid of an asshole. Yeah. Like,
what? But like, the only thing I would add is you can't, depending on where you are in your career, your life, you kind of have to earn it. Like beginner trainer move.
Yes.
You don't. You got to fucking grind. You got to earn those stripes. It's intangible. But once you're earning, you can set the rules.
I completely agree with you there because I wouldn't want someone to listen to this and be like, cool, I'm in my first year out of college.
I'm not training at 6 a.m. Get the fuck out of here. You'll train in the 4 if you have to.
They're going to be like, you're right. I do deserve some me time and a vacation. No, bitch. You need to work 52 weeks in this in the next 5 years straight, and then we can think about giving you a break.
12-hour days, multiple weeks in a row.
I mean, even through college, I had 3 jobs and while doing 18 credits a semester. I do not want to fucking hear it.
Like, I think we're missing that. I'm like, we need to send 17 to 24 year olds through crucibles.
Do something hard.
Do one thing that's difficult. I know. And then
that's really hard.
Really hard. Yeah. That you're like contemplating quitting and blah blah blah. Maybe quit, but you'll learn from it. I artificially try to make at the gym sometimes. I'm gonna fucking ride you till you fucking break. And then I'll help you.
This is so great.
Fuck.
Oh my gosh. We should sideline on like putting together like some sort of like training weekend like that where you can handle the physical component of it and I'll handle the mental component of it.
And teach kids how to do business at the same time.
Right. It'll be like the crucible boot camp that we put them through.
That's a goal dream of mine of having like a house and being able to host 10, I don't know, 18-year-old kids, and there's like a chaperone or something, and then I show up at fucking 3 a.m. We train, then you go to school, and then you eat, then you go to class, then we train again, or like whatever the thing is for like a month.
Yep.
And you're going to...
That is awesome.
You're going to learn more in a month than you do in a year of school about yourself. You're going to learn about yourself.
Okay, well, sign my niece Nugget up for that. She's going to be 4 next month, so she's going to be ready to go.
I got time. Okay.
You got time to build out the curriculum, exactly.
I've been thinking about this. That's because the gym thing is like the thing that I want to do is just help people grow. The gym is just the first vehicle. But if we can find the mental side to help people to grow, especially at a young age, the youth, because I'm a dad, is like where my brain is at. I'm like, yo. We see so many adults that like you're stuck in your ways. I don't know if I'm lazy, but I don't even want to try. I want to get you when you're more malleable, maybe. Kind of build from there.
I get that.
Okay, a couple more things.
That's awesome.
I know you maybe got a jam. What is kind of a day in the world of Nicole look like?
They are, honestly, they're never the same. Mondays are the only days that kind of look the same every week, in that on Mondays and towards the beginning of the week is when everyone really wants to, you know, hit it hard and get all the work done. So we always have like all of our big conference calls or Zoom meetings, or, you know, our sales squad meets on Mondays. I always have those are being done on Mondays. I kind of like gave every day of the week a column or a category. Yeah. Tuesdays, I do a lot of like production, merchandising, planning, that type of thing. Like actually working on the product. But you know, everything changes, right? Because no one's going to just like randomly fit into your schedule.
It's fucking triage all day.
all day, which is why, you know, I was laughing. I was like, he's probably used to this. He's like, because you sent me like all these times. I'm like, yep, that's going to change for both of us. But we'll just try. We'll try for this. Yeah, it is triage all day is like the perfect way to describe it. But every day consists of these components, right? Calls, me avoiding my emails, handling like being in the office and doing like a lot of brainstorm conversations. I train every day, or like we'll be outside. If I'm not like training, I'm walking a couple of miles, at least a few miles, with my weighted vest, just thinking, listening to music.
I love that. I love walking now. I'm fucking old. I love walking. Just don't talk to me. I need to think.
Right. I'll put a weighted vest on and I'll just leave. And so that's every day. And every day I write, usually in the mornings, because that's like when I'm fresh. And that's really it, you know, sprinkle in here and there pre-COVID, you know, getting together with friends, maybe for dinners and stuff. But to be honest with you, I'm kind of mean about being like, no, I don't really have a reason to like go out and meet with you. I definitely don't need to go out and have drinks with you, because like, I just am not interested in that right now. And
I'm not either. You know, I feel like a lot of entrepreneurs are not. Like, it's a waste of time, unless it's something very special, unless it's the first time we made $1 million or something fucking.
Right. I know. It's just like, even like tomorrow's my birthday, and like, we're just going to have like a tiny little like happy hour, you know, with my niece, and it'll be really early because she goes to bed early. So, and that's really going to be it. I'm not looking to get into anything crazy, because I like to go to bed early and I like to wake up early. And I just like to be productive. And so every day is sprinkled with a little bit of that.
So, yeah. All right. We're going to go fire around and then plugs. What's your favorite word?
Productivity.
Favorite artist, music artist.
Lady Gaga.
Favorite holiday.
I don't have one.
What other job would you do besides your own?
I can't even answer that. My brain doesn't compute.
Favorite app?
Oh, probably Instagram.
What would your rapper name be? Butter and Biscuits.
That or Nikki Bizzle?
It just reminds me of Nicki Minaj, because you go Nikki Bizzle. I don't know. Well,
Butter and Biscuits is actually like a great rapper name. I should just roll with that.
Okay, you're going to start a podcast. Is that correct?
Yes, it's called This Shit's Hard. It is candid, co-hosted conversations with the people who do the hard shit.
Any specific industry or anything?
Anything. So obviously I will circling back to you. I would love to have you on my podcast.
Hell yeah. And I was scoping, you started brand consulting.
Yes. So this came after literally years of people asking me for help, or can I pick your brain, or can I take you out to coffee and we can talk? And I'm like, all right, there's two things here. Number one, that obviously means that a lot of people need help, right? With their entrepreneurship, like goals. And I actually mentor, it's basically like adjunct professor at Florida Atlantic University for the entrepreneurship track in the College of Business, right? Like, this is what I do. But there comes a point in your own career where taking your time away from running your business is literally costing you money.
It costs money. Everything costs money. So you got to decide. Opportunity
everything costs money. Right. So like, while it's very nice of you to ask me, and I'm honored that you value my opinion, I'm sorry, but a cup of coffee is not going to do it. You need to pay me.
Well, even this. So anyone listening, at another level besides Nicole and I being friends, this is going to benefit her and me, because we're able to talk and build brand value in the things that we do. So if anyone's listening on some business sense, this is an opportunity cost that took over an hour away from our business so that we can speak on something to build better value for each other and to cross market between different brands, by the way.
And we both found value in it, which is why we're doing this. Right. And so it's either you're getting paid or you're creating value. That's it. So so my business partner, Melissa Anderson, and I, she's the one that I always stay with when I come out to California, by the way.
Have I met her?
I brought her by one time and you weren't. You were like, it was probably the 1 hour you weren't there. you're probably like taking a nap in like the back of your car.
Yes, that is very common. That's where I'm at right now.
I have no doubt. So, by the way, almost all my meals get eaten in my car, and I'm always in my car on conference calls. That's just what happens. But yeah, so my business partner and I, Melissa, started Perspective Design. BTO is for Box the Outside, because she's a certified business and life coach, and she's been doing this for years. She has been a paid consultant for Chesty for basically since our inception, and now we can offer I'm so sorry.
That last little bit. Now you can offer what?
And so now we can offer entrepreneurs, businesses, and startups the consultancy and the advice that they need to actually get their idea from the idea stage to an actual product or business launch. And that's what we do at Perspective Design.
Yeah, dealing with the city is fun.
Damn it, dude.
Right. Oh, I mean, and there's all these little things, right? All these little like nuances that people, you know, don't think about. Like if you're starting a clothing line, like I just told my friend the other day, he's been in business for a long time. And he said, he asked me because I sent him something from our brand. And he's like, what's that RN number? And I was like, dude, you have been doing this for how long? And you don't have that on your clothing. But it's just like, if you don't know it, and if someone doesn't tell you to do it, how do you know? You can't know everything. So, yeah.
There's a lot of shit that is not in textbooks.
Most of it's not. And that's
not in textbooks.
No. And that's why it's important to have conversations with people who are doing the stuff that you want to do. So, I really appreciate talking to you today on your birthday and while you're in your car in between, you know, your crazy hectic day. So thank you for that. Please tell your wife that I was thinking about her, and good luck with your baby, baby. This is so exciting.
I'm so excited. You're welcome. Like the first time around having a kid is like, what the fuck is going on? Second time around, it means way different. And especially with having your other child, bring this other child into the world. Everyone's told me you cry when you see your child. And then you extra cry when you see your child holding your child.
Oh, like, that's what the so fuck amazing. Is
going on?
You're going to be extra crying, bro.
Dude, I've cried the most this year that I have in my whole life.
Oh, that's amazing.
Out of happiness. I'm like, damn, I'm just such an old man now. And I'm okay with that. I am okay where I sit in the world.
Nicole, thank
you for sharing a lot of these stories. I think they're very helpful, and I want to continue doing stuff like this, just like you are. Thank you for holding values in the world, standing up with a brand that means something to people. It's super dope to have you as a friend. Thank you.
Thank you.
happy birthday.
Thank you, Juan. Thanks for having me. It was really nice catching up with you, and happy birthday to you.
On the internet.
See you on the webs, and hopefully in person soon.
Got it. All right.
Thanks.
Later.
Bye. Bye.